Good morning. Today's daf in the Darim Samech Tes. We're going to be starting today on Samech Tes and Aleph with the words by Rava. I know it's a short daf, but we just finished up yesterday's point, which took us into today's daf. So we're already 5-6 lines down from the top of the Amud. And yes, it's a short daf. And yes, it's going to be a little bit tricky. A lot of rounds in today's daf. That's coming up in just a moment. Let's quickly orient ourselves. We are here in the 10th parak of the Masechta. And we introduce ourselves to the topic of Afara. Torah allows either the father or the husband to be made for neder, or to be mekayim neder. And that means to say that when a woman makes a neder and she's under the auspices of either a father or a husband, so then the father or the husband has now veto power over the neder. And what the father or the husband can do is just simply they can reject the neder. Now, I say that in an oversimplified circumstance, because there are a lot of details to that, and the details are all going to be unfolding over the course of this perek. So we're going to go through all the details together. But meanwhile, that's just a basic idea, is that they could be mefer. Okay, and then where we opened up the 10th perek, meaning that was all given, that's psukim in the Torah, that's parshas matos. And then on top of that, so we learned that there's really an opportunity for a joint ownership. In other words, if you have an ara murasa, so you can now have the father and the husband both having joint ownership over her nedarim, and so therefore only with a double hafara by both, then and only then is the neder going to be mufar. Okay, good. And so what we did in the first off of the perek, was Samech Ches, that was 2 days ago. So in the first off, I'm sorry, Samech Zayin, so 2 days ago. So what we did is that we went over the Makoros in the Torah. Menahan Emilia, how do I know? Meaning we went through the Psukim together in Matos, and where did we find that we have this idea of joint ownership in the psukim themselves? It's not abundantly clear. However, the Gemara offered not one but two different drushas in terms of how we extracted this information from the psukim, from the Torah Shebichsav. But anyway, but the conclusion is very, very clear, and that is that if it's an ara marasa, so you have a joint ownership over her neder. Good. That was point number one that we discussed for the first couple of days of this parak. Then in yesterday's daf, yesterday was Samech Ches. So we continued that discussion of Menahan Emili, and then we moved on to an extraordinarily lumdish discussion, which is that when you have Nara Marasa and you have a joint ownership, how exactly does the double Hafara work? Is it that each one of them has 50% shareholdings in the Neder, and when each one of them is being Mefer, they're Mefer only their 50%, and the Gemara's terminology to describe that was Megas Gaias? Alternatively, no. In other words, when each one of them is being mefer, so each one of them is being mefer the entire neder, first one weakening the neder, and the second one knocking it out. Okay, and the Gemara's terminology to describe that is miklash kalash. Good. So that was a discussion that we had yesterday. Nafkamina we discussed yesterday. It turns out to machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. That also we discussed yesterday. Okay, and that was just a quick summary, a quick recap of what we've been doing the last couple of days here in the 10th parak. And in today's daf, so more lumdus. In other words, today, really, it's going to be a much more conceptual daf, where there's not going to be a lot of practical halacha coming in today's daf, but a lot of concepts, a lot of ideas, and it's going to be a little bit tricky. But it's a short daf, so we'll get through it quickly. On the other hand, I'm not promising that it's going to be an easy daf, but obviously we're going to try to navigate to the best of our ability, as we try to do every day. So, by Rav Yeshe...
One question. You say Mekayim. Does a husband have to be Mekayim?
No.
No, you just can't only.
In other words, if he hears about the neder and he's quiet for a day, so then the neder now is de facto mekuyam.
No.
Okay. So in other words, is there going to be sheila b'hakama? In other words, the husband is mekayim. So he hears about the neder. He's got 1 day now to cast a vote, either to be mefer or to be mekim. Now, by the way, there's a third option as well, which is it could be quiet, but within the day he is making, so he sustains the neder, and then afterwards what he wants to do is he wants to ask a shayla on his akama. Can he do that? Is there a concept of asking a shayla on akama? Now, it happens to be that we just did this a day ago, 2 days ago in the daf, where the Gemara assumed, of course, there is a shayla on the akama. Excuse me. But now the Gemara is formally asking, right? In other words, this is a formal presentation of the Gemara's discussion, whether or not a she'ela can be done on a hakama. Now, for a moment, let's just talk this out, meaning, why yes, why no? Why yes, actually, is pretty simple. Because what is a hakama? Hakama is basically that she made a neder, and he's sustaining the neder. it is somewhat tantamount to him making a neder. Now, obviously, it's not. In other words, she made the neder, not him. But what the Kahakama is doing is it's ratifying a neder. Oh, so the ratification of a neder, you could definitely see that as being like a neder. Oh, good. So if she made a neder and he was mekayim it, much like she can do a she'ela on her neder, obviously, so he can do a she'ela on the ratification of a neder. Good. So that would be, I'm just giving a svar pshuta, just a simple explanation in terms of why it could be that there is such a thing as a she'ela by a kama. So in terms of lama yeshe'ela by a kama, now continuing in the Gemara, now let's say that yes, in other words, you can, there is such a concept of asking she'ela on a kama. So yeshe'ela by a far or ain't she'ela by a far. Are we going to say the same thing regarding how far as well? Okay, now as here, just I'm going to do the run, I'll do it outside. But the Ron basically says, now what's this step of the Gemara? So this step of the Gemara is like this. Meaning by Hakama, we argued and we just articulated how it is that it makes sense. In other words, Sheila by Hakama works because again, Hakama is basically a neder. In other words, it's her neder, but it's him ratifying the neder. Okay, so.
But he doesn't have to do anything to ratify that neder. He could be quiet in the...
Hold it. Those are two separate... One thing at a time. Okay, so you're right. He didn't have to ratify the neder, but he has the power to do so. In other words, that's what's called kiyum neder. So if he exercises that right of being mekayim the neder, so he just sustained the neder. So we just got done explaining how it's possible to ask a she'ela on the hakama. Good. Now she'ela and hafara, is hafara a neder? Just the opposite. Meaning hafara is the rejection of a neder. In other words, she made a neder. He's made for the neder. So that's a rejection of the neder. So now what are you going to do? You're going to ask a she'ela on the rejection of a neder? That doesn't make any sense. The Ron acknowledges, you're right, that doesn't make any sense. However, so then why is the Gemara even entertaining it? Meaning, if I may, by the way, spoiler alert, but what the Gemara is going to end up saying is that you can ask a she'ela on the kama, but you can't ask a she'ela on the afara. That will be the Gemara's conclusion. But before we get to the conclusion, which we're going to get to momentarily, for a moment, let's entertain. Why is the Gemara even entertaining that there's going to be she'ela on afara? So the Ron explains the reason why is as follows. Because what do we have? A hekesh. Meaning in one pasuk, the Torah says that the husband can be making, the husband can be mefer. He has either opportunity in what he could do. Because the Torah puts the two in the same pasuk, we describe that as the hekesh. And what is it? What is the power of a hekesh? The power of a hekesh is that a hekesh may create a halacha, even though it may not make sense. Can we argue how it is that you're asking a she'ela on a farah? Hard to argue. You're not making a neder, you're rejecting a neder. Okay, good. I understand that. But there's also a hekesh. Maybe the hekesh is going to overrule the lack of reason and argument that one can make.
But the Torah doesn't want you to make a neder.
So okay, good.
Why should the chuchem be matter the afora?
Okay, good. Okay, good. So Rav Chaim asks that really what from a hashkafic standpoint, once he's made for the neder, so then we should give him a yeshar koach and we should close the deal right now. And the fact that he wants to undo his afora, so that's connected. It's connected what the Torah wants. So good. It's an excellent point. But just right now, what the Gemara is entertaining is, at least, is it possible? And so the Gemara's answer is no. The Tashma. Okay, good. And the Gemara answers. Now the Gemara is answering with just a simple psak that was offered by Rav Yochanan, meaning this is not a long discussion. Discussion has officially come to an end. And that is that there is she'ela on hakama, but there is no she'ela on hafara. Good. Adkan, that it takes us to the end of that discussion. Next. By Rabba. Okay, and throughout Adaf today, right, the girsos of whether it's Rava or Rabba is back and forth. Okay, for our purposes right now, it doesn't make a big difference. But anyway, by Rava. Kaim lechi, v'nishala kama rishona mahu. Okay, so let's say the husband is mekayim, the neder two times in a row. Same neder. So in other words, she made a neder, and what he does is he sustains the neder. And after having sustained the neder, he says, you know what? I sustain it a second time. Now, how many times can you sustain a neder? So, right, in other words, good. In other words, you already gave it a yeshar koach. You have to give it a second yeshar koach. So good. That's exactly the Gemara's question. Is there any legal significance to that second hakama that he did? So mahu. So tashma damar ravin mashal rishonashia chalalav. And once again, the Gemara asks the question. The Gemara answers the question, and again, really quickly. And that is yes. In other words, what happens to that second hakama? What happens to that second hakama is that right now, currently, it's not necessary. But it doesn't mean now that it's just going to disappear and fly off into the ether. What's going to happen to that second hakama is that it's going to be omed. It's going to be stand. It's going to be on standby. So that let's say now with that first hakama that you did, you decide, you know what? I'm going to have regrets on that first hakama. I'm going to a chacham. I'm going to ask a sheila on the first hakama that I did, and you do so, and the chacham releases you from that first hakama. Now what's going to happen is that second hakama that you made is going to come. It's going to be chal. Since it's standing there on standby, so now when available, so now it's going to insert itself, and so that second hakama is going to be there. So giving a second hakama is not insignificant. It is significant. It's just standing there on standby. Good. So that is question number two.
For the same neder?
Yeah. No. For the same neder. Yeah.
It's like any sechal.
Meaning that she makes it again or what?
No. In other words, she made a neder. She made a neder.
Right.
He came up with a double hakama.
Right.
So he not only gave one yeshikoch to the neder, he gave a second one.
Right.
So the significance of the second one now is that if necessary, meaning right now, it has no point. In other words, he already gave a hakama.
Right.
But now if he shoel on the first hakama, perfect. Okay. And so now, good. So basically, we're looking at the interplay between Hakama and Afara. And here we get to, by far and away, the toughest question of today's daf. Meaning the first two questions that we asked and answered are relatively straightforward. This question over here, not going to be easy. So Rava wants to know, Kaim Laichi Umufer Laichi. So what I want to do is I want to sustain the neder, I want to reject the neder. I want to do both. Now, I know, as do you, that you can't do both. In other words, this is binary.
It's either
one of them. It can't be both, obviously, right? If we're going to make any point today, this is going to be the most obvious point, and that is that you can't sustain and reject the neder. It's going to be one or the other, but it can't be both. And over here, now, again, maybe you're just trying to make her life crazy. Maybe you're trying to make her crazy. Who knows? Again, as far as motivation is concerned, I'm not here for that. Neither is the Gemara. The Gemara wants to know what halachic significance is there going to be when you try to do the two of them simultaneously. Now, how do I know that you're trying to do the two simultaneously? So let's read the line again in the Gemara. By Rav Akim Leichim Ufer Leichi. So I'm Mikayim, I'm Mefer. And I have no interest in the hakama unless the hafara is also there as well. In other words, with that second line, clearly he's punctuating by saying, I want the two of them. Okay, so now, mahu. So what do we say under those circumstances? Now, admittedly, by the way, this is an unbelievably difficult question, meaning what does this person want? Meaning, does he want hakama or does he want hafara? And what's the Gemara asking over here? Okay, so, admittedly, these aren't easy questions. And if you take a look at the run on the bottom, by Rava, Kaim Elechem Uferlech, Velotech, Lekam Alim, Kein Chala, Afar, Mahu, Chazinabach, Bay Uva Maite Pashinaba, Lekam Anzal, Mila Delo Nehiri, Mishamach, Mefershinaba, Maidis Chazile. So the run admits, by the way, that he's heard a lot of Pshatim in the Gemara, none to his pleasure. Right, it happens to be in today's daf, right, on a number of occasions. I'm just reading one of the times. The Ron points out, others have said other pshatim in the Gemara, don't like them. In fact, at the end of today's daf, the Ron, right, we have a couple more questions in today's daf that's going to be challenging. This being one of them, happens to be at the end of today's daf, the Ron says, I've offered you my opinion in terms of what the Gemara means, and I'm telling you what I'm saying is the correct pshat. Now, generally speaking, we know if the Ron is offering a pshat, he believes he's correct, but today's daf really is open for a lot of interpretation. Anyway, l'rabba pshita le'da kamalo chayle. So, the Ron says like this. I'm in the Ron. I'm on the bottom. On samach tesam and aleph. L'rabba pshita leita kama lochai de meman nafshachi afar chayla kama lochai le dehin dinehid la kama mesafkala and kaim lechisha umor for lechisha ichal etarvai lo shani hasem shenasen kitzva la kama vafara. Okay, in tomorrow's daf, we're going to be talking about where you gave a hakama and you gave a hafara, but in other words, with a window. In other words, hakama for an hour, hafara for an hour. That's tomorrow's daf. That's not what we're discussing over here. And the idea that hakama in such a situation, meaning in our current Gemara's question, hakama being on the table, it's not there. Meaning it's not going to be an option that there's going to be hakama. Meaning if he's trying to make hakama and hafara simultaneous, so obviously hafara is going to trump hakama. Okay. So therefore, what is the question? So turn the page, top of the round, next Amud.
That's something about Rishon.
We're getting there. So, over here, what we are the only thing we're entertaining is whether or not the hafar is going to sustain. It is clear, says the Ran, that hakama is not on the table. Over here, the question now becomes the following, and that is that maybe what he meant over here is sequential. Okay, one possibility over here is that this is a sequence where he first wants a kama and then afterwards he wants a fara. Okay? That's one possibility. Ella, now the gears over here in the run needs a little bit of work. Ella, demishum hachi, lo techla kama leim kein chala far, velo asti nami ibcha, lo techla far leim kein chala kama, mishum de kevin de ikdim kayem, laichi lemufer laichi, samach alisha da kama chayla de beresha, itkar la veleka de la akev ala. The adarabim mishum de chayish de chayla hakama kulei hay ad de lo shavka rav chalafara astevamer de lo techala hakama elim kin chalafara v'arei ki ilu hisna al shtem shiachulu hakama betchila v'achar kachafara. Okay, so one possibility of what the person meant is sequential. Okay, and I know I read a lot of Ran, but just I'm simplifying it. I'm making it hopefully digestible. So one possibility over here is that he wanted both, but sequentially. First hakama, then afterwards hafara. Odilma nihida amar mufar laichi basar kaim laichi lab de takla hafara basar kama ichavein el mishum di yeshali kroshtein shemus keachad umi ohai gavra behafara kapid de takla daha amar de lo bay de takla hakama el inkein chala hafara vidat ohaya sheyacholu kaachas. Alternatively, he didn't want sequential, he wanted concurrent. He wanted the two to come at the same time. Okay. Now, obviously, we as human beings are limited. Right. We can't do two at the same time. Who can? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, Shamar v'Zachar b'Dibur Achas. Okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said both Shamar and Zachar b'Dibur Achas. I'm sure everyone here knows what I'm referring to. Saras HaDibros is mentioned twice in the Torah, one in Parshas Yisro, second time in Parshas Veschanan. And so, there are notable, subtle differences between the way the Aseres HaDibros are outlined in both, and the Gemara tells us on a number of occasions that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said both, right? Meaning, as just but one of the examples, obviously a critical example, and that is that by Shmir Shabbos, right, that's Dibber number four, so by Shmir Shabbos, so in one place it says Shamar is Yom HaShabbos L'Kadosho, and the other place it says Zachor is Yom HaShabbos L'Kadosho. And what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He says both. Shamar v'zachor. And not only that, he says it, b'dibur achas. Good. And by the way, that's not just, that has a lot of halachic ramifications. Most notably, we all know this. Most notably, what does it tell us? That anyone who is subscribing to Shmiras is also subscribing to Zechira as well. Meaning women are chayiv in los ases, so therefore they're bound by Shamar. They're also bound by Zachor as well. Zachor is the mitzvah seseh, the positive commandments of Shabbos, notably to make Kiddush, according to the Rambam, also to make Haftalah as well. So that is going to be an obligation on women. Women are generally exempt from mitzvah seseh shazman grama. Okay, not by Shabbos. Shamar v'zachor b'dibur echad. Okay, so Akash Baruch Hu can do that. Meaning he's a kol v'yachol. He can do anything. So for him to say Shomer V'Zachor and to do it simultaneously, he could do that. Now we, as human beings, so we're limited, incredibly limited. So we can't do Hafara Hakama Bevas Achas. However, what the person was trying to say halachically is, even though I can't say the words at the same time, I mean I want them to apply at the same time. That's what he meant over here. Concurrent. Okay. So good. So basically, the way the Ran sets up the Gemara's question is as follows. He said, I want to be make him and made for the neder. Good. Now, obviously, that's unbelievably confusing. What's the Shiloh? So the way the Ran sets it up, the Gemara's question is that, first of all, the Ran points out, Hakama is off the table. Meaning, obviously, when you have a Kama and you have a Farah, so there's no way that Hakama can sustain. However, over here, the Gemara's question is, did he mean it sequentially, or did he mean it concurrently? If he meant it sequentially, so because I first had a Hakama, then Hafara can't come and overlay on top of the Hakama. Good. If, on the other hand, he wanted it concurrently, good. So then the Hafara would win out. That is the Gemara's question, as explained by the Ran. And again, the Ran goes on to point out, others have said other pshatim in the Gemara. I'm telling you, I believe this is a correct pshat. Okay? And if this wasn't the daf and we had more time, obviously, we would try to navigate through other pshatim. But in the meantime, however, Tashma mi plukta de Rav Meir v'Rav Yossi. So we're now on the top of the Amud Beis, Amachtes Amud Beis. And so the Gemara now is going to try to be poshe the question based on a classic machlokus between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi did none. Hareza tamur sola tamur shlamim, hareza tamur sola div Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi omrim lakach niskavim mitchila hovi efshal lekrosh neshem uskaachas dvarav kayamim. Okay, so let's quickly give us basic background to this machlokus for Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir. We hear this machlokus numerous times throughout Shas. Okay, step number one, tamura. So we know that what you could do is that you can exchange the kedusha of a carbon from one animal to another. Now, I say that you can, you shouldn't, right? Lo yimirenu. So the Torah says don't exchange kedusha from one carbon to another carbon. So v'im yamir, so v'arehu usmuraso ye kodesh. And please forgive me, I'm doing the pasuk by heart, which means I probably didn't say it right. But in other words, but I got the basic idea. And that is that even though the Torah says don't exchange the carbon, the kedusha from one animal to another animal, so if you do, varehu smoreso ye kodesh. So the original animal maintains its kedusha, and now the animal that you try to exchange to is going to also become kadosh as well. Good. So that means to say that don't do it, but if you do, it's going to be effective. And so that means that if I have now, let's say for example, a carbonola, and I want the Kedusha's carbonola to jump from this animal to that animal, and I maimir, and I do the exchange. So the outcome is that the second animal is going to have the Kedusha of a carbonola. The first animal maintains the Kedusha. So it's a funny exchange, by the way. It's, in other words, the word exchange is really not the right way to describe it. Transfer. Right? And transfer also is a little bit misleading, because the original animal maintains its Kedusha. Good. And in Tamura, one of the most lumpish questions that's asked over there is where is the original kedusha? Did it remain by the original animal, and the Torah constancy with the second animal, or no? Really, the transfer went through, but as a kanas, the original animal maintains its kedusha. Good, lumpish in Tamura. I'm sorry, what?
Cost him double to do it.
So then go with the Torah's first instruction, which is don't do it. Don't do it. Okay, good. So fine. So that's Tamura. Good. That's step number one. Step number two. Let's say I have the following, and that is that I have two carbonos by me. I have an Ola and I have a Shlamim. And what I want to do now is I want to take the Kedusha of both of them and transfer it into another animal. So that this animal now is going to be receiving the Kedusha of Ola and Shlamim. Good. That's what the person is trying to do. Okay. Does the guy need a little bit of counseling and advice? Like, in other words, would it be better if somebody came over to him and put their arm around him and said, can I make a great suggestion to you? How about you don't do that? Okay. In other words, all well and good. But right now, what we're discussing is, what will be the effect? What if he does it? So now, can one animal have the Kedusha Nol and Shlamim? Of course the answer is no. And one animal cannot be a Karban Ola and a Karban Shlamim. Those are different Karbanos with a whole different set of rules and regulations that govern the two different Karbanos. Good. Karban Ola, all of it's burnt on the Mizbech. Karban Shlamim, most of it is eaten and consumed by the owner, by the Kohanim. So in other words, there are two different Karbanos. So now I want to do a Tmura of an Ola and a Shlamim, two different Karbanos. And I want to transfer both of that into one singular animal. So again, we're only describing what will be if he does it. He shouldn't do it. But what will be? And that brings us to a classic machlokus between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi's of the position. Let me go in order of the Mishnah and Tamura. This is the Tamura Daf Chafei. So according to Rabbi Meir, I raise it Tamura Zola Tamura Shlomim. So Rav Meir says, it's both. It's both. Now again, to the question of how can it be both? So the Ran over here points out, the Gemara over there, and Tamura points out that what you're going to end up doing is that you're going to end up waiting for the animal to get a blemish. Then and only then can you redeem it. You will redeem it. You're going to sell the animal. And as far as the money's concerned, half the proceeds are going to go towards the Nola. Half the proceeds are going to go towards the Shlomim. Okay? So that's a lot of cleanup. But anyway, that's the Shita according to Rav Meir. And meanwhile, according to Rav Yossi, no. According to Rav Yossi, the first thing that comes out of your mouth, that's what's going to be chal. Okay? And typically, generally speaking, whenever presenting this machlokas happens all the time throughout Shas, whenever presenting this machlokas. So what's the standard explanation of the machlokas? According to Rav Yossi, tfos lashon rishon. In other words, the first thing that came out of your mouth is going to be the most significant. That's the one that we're going to take. That's the takeaway. And therefore, according to Rav Yossi, so whatever you said first, that's what's going to be chal. Rav Meir, however, disagrees. Rav Meir says that we have to take the totality of the statement, and that's why both are going to be chal. Good. So all that is just background. That's basic background to get us to where our Gemara today. So in our Gemara today, so what is on the table? So we're asking the question, this is Rav's third question of today. What happens when the person says, I want to be Mefer and make him the Neder? Now again, it's either or, it's binary. It can't be both. So I want to be make him and Mefer the Neder. And in fact, the language over here could not have been clear. He we saw on the bottom of the previous Amud, V'lo teich la'akama ila'im kein chala hafara mahu. And I only want the Hakama if there's also going to be Hafara as well. So what he's looking for is concurrent Hakama Hafara. So what do we say under those circumstances? Do we say that it's really sequential, or do we say that it's concurrent? So now what we did is we introduced the machlokas between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi by the case of Tamura. Admittedly, by the way, it's a bizarre scenario, but what it does is it speaks to the idea of either sequential or concurrent. And ve'afilu Rebbe Meir lo kamar de lo amar lo techo ze alim kein chala ze. Ava hachad amar lo techo kama alim kein chala afara. Rebbe Meir namimo did afara chala. So the Gemara says that, look, and even Rebbe Meir says that you're going to do both, meaning we're going to entertain both, that's only because the language allows us to entertain both. What did he say? He said, I want this to be a tamur sola and a Tamura Shlamim. So because he used language that allowed for both, so therefore over there we could view it as one and the other. Over here, however, the language is clear. Right? The language is, Lo Teich La Kama Ela Im Kein Chala Afara. Even Reb Meir would agree that what we're looking at over here is that they're both going to apply. Meaning, concurrently, at the same time. And so even though we went over the machlokas by Rav Meir and Rav Yossi, by Tamura, because the language over here was very clear in the way it's trying to be both landing at the same time, therefore they're both going to be chal. Okay. And by Rava. And this is going to be our last question of the day. And that is, Kaimu Mufar Laichi Bevas Achas Mahu. Okay. So let's say he says to her, Kaimu Mufar Laichi. And he does so bevas achas, and I want it to be simultaneous. So what do we say under those circumstances? So tashma da amirabba kol davar sheino bezeh achazeh, afilo bevas achas, eino. And the Gemara treats us to the halacha of Rabba. Okay. And the halacha of Rabba is as follows. This takes us to the Gemara in Kiddushin. Right, and again, this is going to be slightly dysfunctional, but we're not interested right now in the dysfunction of people. Although, right, I'm sure it's interesting, but over here we're just talking about the halachic effect. A man goes over to two sisters and he says to them, "I want to be mekardesh. I want to be mekardesh, both of you." Okay, so now it's strange. In other words, you can't marry two sisters. I know Yaakov did. But he's exceptional, and also he's before Matan Torah, and there's a host of explanations. Recently, in another venue, went through the Maharal, the Gur Aryeh. Gur Aryeh gives an unbelievable pshat in terms of how Yaakov can marry two sisters. Okay, and I'm not going to go over it now. But anyway, but fine. Anyway, Yaakov marries two sisters. Good, but once the Torah was given, that's the prohibition. That's Arias. He can't marry two sisters. Fine. And so you go over to two sisters and you say, "I want to be mikdash to both of you." Okay? And so now, does the Kedushin take effect? Obviously, the answer is no. Okay, that was easy. How about this? Does the Kedushin at least take effect with one of the two? In other words, the Isser is marrying both of them. Okay, fine. So I'm not going to be married to both of them, but maybe I'm married to one of them. So Rabba gives the following rule. The Gemara says it in Kedushin. The Gemara says it in today's daf as well. So kol davar she'ena bezecha zeh, afilu bevas achaseinu. If I can't do something sequentially, I also can't do it concurrently. I'll say it again. I know that's a lot. It's a lot to process. If I can't do something sequentially, so I can't do it concurrently as well. So meaning to say that, when it comes to being mekadesh, two sisters, can I do it back to back? Obviously, the answer is no. I can't go to one of the sisters and say, "I want to be mekadesh you," even though that of itself obviously would work. But then to go to the other sister and say, "And I'm going to be mekadesh you," no, you can't do that. In other words, once you're mekadesh the first sister, so then there's no chalos. It doesn't take effect of the second sister. Remember, we're talking here about arayos. By arayos, there's no tfisas kedushin by arayos. So the Kedushin to the second one doesn't work. So I cannot be Mekadish to the two sisters sequentially. And as a result of that, what I can't do is I can't do it concurrently. Meaning, so if I go over to the two sisters and say, "I'm going to be Mekadish you," and how is he Mekadish them at the same time? That's easy. In other words, they both appoint a Shliach, right? The same Shliach. The Shliach is now accepting Kedushin on the two sisters' behalf. In other words, halachically can be done, where the kedushin will occur simultaneously. Maybe, look, is he married to both? The answer is clearly no. But maybe misafik, he's married to one of the two. The Gemara in Kedushin says no, neither, because if I can't do it sequentially, I can't do it concurrently. Meaning, at that point in time, there is no tfisas kedushin at all, and therefore, there's not going to be any chalos kedushin. Good, that's the Gemara in Kedushin. Now take that and bring it right over here as well. Meaning, when our Gemara asked the question, well, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to do hakama far bevas achas. I'm trying to do it at the same time. So can I do it one after the other? The answer, of course, is no. In other words, once you do hakama, you can't be mefer. Once you're mefer, you can't do hakama. So if I can't do it back to back, so therefore, what that means is that I can't do it. If I can't do it sequentially, I can't do it concurrently. Meaning there simply will be no chalos to it whatsoever if I tend to do it bevas achas. Okay. Now, the tricky part is after having learned our Gemara right now, you back up one sugya earlier, and then obviously the previous sugya is very difficult to understand. Meaning, what was the Gemara's question that I asked on the bottom of the Amud Aleph of today's daf? By Rava Kaim Lechim Ufer Lechim Velo Techel Hakama Alim Kain Chalafar Amau. Right? I want the Hakama. I want the Hafara. And I don't want Hafara without Hakama. I don't want Hakama without Hafara. Meaning what he's trying to do is he's trying to do the two of them simultaneously. And what did the Gemara do? The Gemara entertained the discussion. Meaning, I'm asking the Ron's question. Why didn't the Gemara over there just reject the question out of hand because of what we just learned together? We just learned together that if I can't do it sequentially, I can't do it concurrently. And meanwhile, previously, the Gemara entertained the discussion. brought down the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi by Temura, and even there the Gemara acknowledges that, you know, even Rabbi Meir would agree that if I'm trying to have it done concurrently, so it'll take effect concurrently. So the Ran is bothered. It's a simple question, meaning by Hakama Nafara, I can't do it sequentially, and if I can't do it sequentially, I can't do it concurrently. So basically, what was the previous discussion of the Gemara? Okay. Sorry, I just want to show you where inside he says it. Yeah. Okay, V'chi Tema. Okay, if you want to follow me together in the Ran, I'll just show you where the Ran asks this question. It's about three quarters of the way down. The fourth word in the line after a period in the Ran. V'chi Tema. The line starts off with the words Hilchach Hafar Chayla. V'chi Tema Afilu Hechi Chayla Da'a Seikna L'kama D'chol She'en B'zeh Chazeh Afilu B'vas Achas Eino Lav Milsehi. So the Ran asks a question, meaning we just learned in the Gemara together that if I can't do it sequentially, I can't do it concurrently. How did the Gemara previously even entertain that when I said I want Hakama and Hafara, and if there's no Hakama, then there's no Hafara, why there did the Gemara entertain the discussion? So the Ran says, I'll tell you why. Daha hacha lama akve Hakama Hafara daha asne va'amar lo techel Hakama. Hilkach l'Rab Yossi pshita da'afara chayle. So over there, what the Ran tries to distinguish, I mean tries, meaning the Gemara clearly feels that they're different. The way the Ran tries to make a distinction is predicated on the fact that what he's really looking for is he's really looking for Hafara, meaning he wants Hafara. Okay, I know he confuses us by also wanting Hakama as well, but the truth of the matter is that really what he wants is Hafara. And if they're coming simultaneously, and if the Hafara is at least available, he wants the Hafara. Okay. Even though I say it, I don't fully understand the distinction that the Ran is trying to make, but obviously there's a distinction to be made. Masha Einkein in the last question of today's daf, where he says, I want Hakama and I want Afara, and I want them simultaneously. Now what? Since he wants both, so as a result of that, I can't do it sequentially, therefore I can't do it concurrently. That's the Ran's way of distinguishing between the two cases. Okay. That part, I admit, is the tricky part of today's daf. Let's quickly recap. Let's review our daf today.
What happened to the Naram also? If the husband and the father, each one says something, like one says Hafara and one says him, so then what happens?
Nothing. In other words, the Hafara cannot work unless it's joined. Hakama cannot work unless it's joined.
Nothing.
Okay, good. Okay, so let's go over our daf today. Our daf today is highlighted by questions of Rava. First question of Rava, can I do a she'ela on Hakama? The answer is yes. Can I do a she'ela on Hafar? The answer is no. Okay, good. That was easy. And in the Gemara, we discussed why at least we even entertained the idea of asking a she'ela on Hafara. Good. That was number one. Number two, I do a double Hakama, right? I give the neder not only one yeshikoach, but a second yeshikoach. Right, I'm totally sustaining the neder twice over. That second hakama. So what is it doing? It's there on standby. Okay, good. That was number two. Number three. So I don't want the hakama unless there's also a hafara that accompanies it. Okay, it's a funny question of Rava. That's the third question of today's daf. And there, what we're looking for is that how exactly do we look at that? Do we look at that as sequential or do we look at that as concurrent? And if, in fact, we look at it as concurrent and really what he's looking for is a hafara, it just happens to be that there's a hakama that comes along concurrently with it. So, but maybe the hafara will then just simply overrule the hakama. That was the Gemara's question. The Gemara re-invited us to the machlokus of Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi by the classic case of Temuras Ola, Temuras Shlamim. What do we say under those circumstances? It's a true that there's a general machlokus of whether or not with Tfos Lashon Rishon, or we take the totality of the statement. However, even Rabbi Meir would agree to Rav Yossi that if your language could not be any clearer, if you are super articulate in your language that you want both to land at the same time, even Rabbi Meir would agree that it lands at the same time. Good. And therefore, in the case of The only way I want Hakama is also if it's accompanied by Afara. So there, I want the two to land at the same time. And finally, the last question of today's daf, what if I want both Hakama and Afara Bavasachas? What do we say? So what we say is what we said in the Gemara in Kiddushin. If it can't happen sequentially, it can't happen concurrently. Obviously, I can't be Mekadesh two sisters. I can't do it back-to-back, Bezeh-Acher-Zeh. If I can't do it Bezeh-Acher-Zeh, I can't do it Bavasachas. It absolutely has no effect. So over here, can I do Hakama followed by then by Afara? No. In other words, I can't do it sequentially. If I can't do it sequentially, I can't do it concurrently. Okay, Adkan.